Welcome to the Church for the Nations official podcast. You can find all of the CFTN teachings for free at www.podbean.com/CFTN. Join us for today's message titled, The Lions of God, Part 3, by Dr. Michael Maiden.
Our text today will be our main text. Of course, I never had it as one text. 1 Kings chapter 10. So, trying to think of what day it was. Someday this week, had a rigorous week of ministry, which I'm honored and humbled that God allows me to serve. One of those days between meetings, I took a 20-minute power nap. And in my nap, the Lord visited me. And he changed my message for today, which I had no concept of what he spoke to me. He just said to me, 1 Kings chapter 10. I knew what was there, but I went there and began to research it more deeply because we're talking about the lions of God, and there was something in the mind of God concerning wisdom and the ruling potential of his people. Let's read together. Now, when the queen of Sheba, verse 1 of chapter 10 of 1 Kings, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, Solomon became great because he made God's name great. It was the name of God that catapulted Solomon into worldwide influence and fame. And she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great group of camels, which bore spices and gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all of her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had heard all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, the entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I've heard. Happy are the men and happy are your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delights in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he has made you king to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Haran, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug, wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord, for the king's house, and harps and string instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, and never again has there been such to this day. Now the king of Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, beside what Solomon had given her according to his royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants and income of traders from all the kings of Arabia, from the governors of the country, the king of Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each of these shields. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And the throne had 6 steps. And the top of the throne was round at the back, and there were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions, everybody say 12 lions. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. And verse 24, "Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for capturing us. Thank you for awakening the heart of lions. Thank you for opening the mind of lions. Thank you for your grace. Anoint your servant, your word, your people. Capture us to your purpose and will for this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everyone said, Solomon, by wisdom, the story begins a few chapters earlier when Solomon made an extravagant display of worship to God, and God met him at nighttime and said in a dream, what do you want? Ask me for anything and I will give it to you. And Solomon thoughtfully, prayerfully, already infused with a wisdom beyond his years, said, I don't want riches, I don't want honor, I don't want longevity. I need understanding, I need insight, I need perception, I need wisdom. And God said, because you've not asked for riches, influence, and longevity, I'm gonna give you those things through wisdom. Everything you didn't ask for, wisdom will give you. Solomon then became the wisest person. Christ himself alluded to Solomon by saying, a greater than Solomon is here. Talking about the Queen of Sheba, this great example of wisdom. So my friends today, we are going to tap into some things. I just hope to excite you to a journey to pursue God's wisdom. The Bible is a book that contains the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is the way that lions rule. The kingdom of God reigns wherever the wisdom of God is received. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, the reigning power of heaven on earth, the kingdom of God reigns anywhere the wisdom of God has been received. And so when we ask God for a breakthrough, he will then share with us his wisdom. And as we apply his wisdom, we unlock our breakthrough. And God wants us, by the power of his Spirit, by accessing his word, by seeking him with all of our hearts, God wants us to be people that tap into the heavenly possibilities of the mind of Christ in this world, releasing God's wisdom. Wisdom is stronger than power. And so God wants us to know that he can give us wisdom. Remember what James said, it's in your notes. If anyone lacks wisdom, well, that's everybody almost all the time. Let them ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, they will receive. God's always the smartest person in the room. Okay, the Holy Spirit is always the smartest person in the room. And oftentimes we handcuff him by not accessing him through recognition and humility. Holy Spirit, help me. Like Steve and Tony in the marriage class, I promise you, there's no marriage here that God can't repair. There's no marriage here that God can't make better. The wisdom of God will help you in that journey. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of wisdom. This generation is drowning in information while starving for wisdom. We've never been exposed. No generation in human history, it used to be that knowledge would double, you know, every 500 years, then every 100 years, then every 50 years, 20 years, 10 years, every year. Now knowledge doubles something like every 3 minutes. Human knowledge doubles like that. So we're in this quantum speed of light season of the information age. And so people are, they are being overwhelmed with information, but they're not accessing wisdom. And so wisdom is God's answer. Wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and to implement the will of God in that matter. So the wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and then to implement the will of God in that matter. So wisdom understands the problem and understands the solution and connects them. And so God wants us to be people of wisdom. Jesus said in Matthew 7, two houses. One guy built a house on a rock. One guy built a house on a sand. They both experienced storms. I've been talking all week about it. I'm tired of talking about it. But natural disasters aren't from heaven. Storms come on this earth because it is a broken, sinful, and imperfect world because of sin, because of man. And so Jesus said, anybody that builds their house on the rock can withstand the storms. And so the rock is anyone who hears my words and acts on them, that's the wise person. So when you build your life on God's word, you're building your life through God's wisdom, and you will withstand the storms of life. Thank you, three of you. So that's how we build successful marriages, families, businesses, ministries, whatever we're doing. Proverbs 3 says this, happy is the man that finds wisdom, the man or woman that gains understanding, for wisdom proceeds, the proceeds of wisdom are better than the profits of silver, her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are always ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths peace. So the Lord by wisdom, verse 19, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. So God's own wisdom created the world that we now live in. And God, by his wisdom, wants to build something in this generation. You're just one thought from God away from a brand new life. You're just one infusion of heavenly wisdom away from your breakthrough. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Solomon had six steps up to his throne. And so at each step, there was two lions. A lion there and a lion there. And the Bible says there was no throne in all the world like Solomon's throne. It represents the kingdom of God. And so the two lions represent agreement and power. And every stage of wisdom, every step of wisdom you take, the lion of God's authority, the ruling of God's kingdom, the power of heaven backs you up. When you build your life on the wisdom of God, the lion of heaven roars for you. The kingdom of God fights for you. The power of God is unleashed for you. The word of God proceeds to accomplish. So every step we build our lives step by step. Every step at two lines, the agreement, the power, the voices, the authority, the showing the kingdom of God all the way to the throne. And the throne, there were two more lions. The throne was the place representing the kingdom of God. And we can build in our lives a stairway until we have built a throne of kingdom authority by living a life of principled wisdom from God's word and from God's wisdom. Can I have an amen? Proverbs 4, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her. Love wisdom, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. So what does that mean? Well, the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs says the most important thing is wisdom. So seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. God loves to share his wisdom with us. We seek him by devouring his word, by prayer, by being open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We seek him. Exalt her, verse 8, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days, wisdom will be multiplied. Your years will be added. Years will be added to your life. So the fear of the Lord, the reverential respect and honor of worship of God. So anybody, listen, anybody that knows God has a reverence for God. Okay, God doesn't want us negatively fearful of him. But anybody that's around, see the disciples were afraid of the storm. Oh, save us, Jesus. 5 minutes later, they were afraid of Jesus. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey his voice? You didn't have that kind of reverence for God. When people do not have a reverence for God, they do not then honor his principles. They do not seek his wisdom. They do not adhere to his word. So everything begins. Here's how Christ framed it in the New Testament. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? They get everything in the kingdom. There's the kingdom. What does that mean? Humility unlocks every door of the kingdom. And humility is the acknowledgement that you're not as smart as God, you don't know as much as God, and that God can help you as you surrender your life, seek His wisdom, seek His ways, submit your life to Him. Amen? God's large, He's in charge, and He wants to help you in your journey. And man, His wisdom makes all the difference. In the world, Daniel chapter 1 says, they tested by an intense examination the Hebrew children, and here's what the Bible says. In all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were with him in his realm. Everybody say 10 times better. So the acumen of being able to be measured, to be 10 times, not double, not triple, not quadruple, 10 times superior in wisdom can only happen by the Holy Spirit touching the acumen of your cognitive behaviors, your creative thinking. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in your mind. And He can awaken you to an intelligence that's beyond your natural capacity. He can fill you with God's thoughts, but He can also awaken your creative engine. He can awaken your, we had a guy in my dad's church years ago, 40 some years ago, named Sam. And Sam had, my parents had a hippie church here in town called New Life Chapel. A lot of young people were touched there, and it was great work for a few years. And Sam had blown his brains out with LSD. He literally had done so many drugs that he had the kind of the competency of maybe a 9 or 10 year old, maybe a little bit younger than that. So just the sweetest guy ever. So Sam fell in love with the Bible. And every time at church, we'd slap our sweaty hands on and pray for a miracle. And something began to come alive in Sam's brain. Sam ended up going to DeVry, a high-tech place, got a high-tech job. His brain got recreated when he accessed the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And if God can fix Sam's brain, He can fix your brain, okay? So God wants to infuse your life with the possibilities of the Holy Spirit. Think about this for a minute. The Queen of Sheba said, the half hasn't been told. Half hasn't been told. Jesus is beyond description. Our Jesus, our God. Here's how David said it. Man, you gotta come and taste for yourself that the Lord is good. Our Jesus, His grace is, no matter how we describe it to people, once they taste it, it's better. We can talk about forgiveness, but once you've encountered the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, it is the most outrageous thing in this world. Once you've encountered the freedom of the burden of your sins being lifted, man, Jesus, once people sit in the presence of Jesus, they never want to leave. They never want to put down their Bibles. They never want to stop attending church. They never want to stop praying every day because they find such a satisfying pleasure. They find such a educational experience, a journey of improvement, a transformation in the presence of Jesus. Our Jesus is wonderful beyond description, too marvelous for words. If Solomon was a great man, Jesus was 1,000 times greater than him. The voice of God Himself speaking to mankind on this planet. I put something in Facebook, and I'll just quote it to you this morning, this week, about Jesus and about the wisdom of God and about God's plan and purpose for our lives as His people. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things. I want you to get them. God always has a plan. 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 So God always has a plan. When we ask Him for His plan, He'll always give it to us. When we put His plan to work, it will always work. God always has a plan. When we ask Him, He will always give it to us. Wisdom. When we put it to work, His plan will always work for our life. The devil thought he had checkmated God by putting the thing that God hates, sin, into the very thing that God loves, man. So that in order for God to hate what He hates, sin, He'd have to also hate what He loves, man. Or for God to love what He loves, man, He'd have to love what He hates, sin. Oh, the enemy thought he'd outwitted God by orchestrating the fall of man into sin. But the wisdom of God is far superior to the wisdom of men and devils. It was the wisdom of God that found the only possible solution between the seemingly uncrossable chasm separating a holy God from sinful man. Jesus is the revelation of God's perfect wisdom, and the cross is the redeeming bridge between God and man. It was our God's magnificent wisdom that found a way for his unfailing love to rescue us from his demanded wrath, from the demanded wrath of his perfect righteousness. Jesus is the wisdom of God, a holy God, a righteous God, had to punish sin. Satan had thought he now God will have to destroy the thing he loves, but then came Jesus, and Jesus absorbed my wrath on the cross so that now I can have a relationship with God. Satan didn't see it. He wouldn't have crucified Christ had he known that Christ was the solution to the dilemma of man's fall and sin. Jesus is the revelation of God's perfect wisdom. Jesus is the one who gives our life heaven's perfect wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll just tell you this, I'm a little bit behind today. So there's three kinds of people that Paul talks about, the Holy Spirit talks about, three categories of life. He says there's the natural man, everybody say natural man. So that's the unsaved person. So that's a person who's, the only access to wisdom they have is by their senses, okay? What they see, taste, smell, touch, and hear. That's the only way. Then he said there's the carnal man, and the carnal man is the born-again Christian, but the born-again Christian who's still living as a natural man, not accessing their spiritual potential. And then Paul says they're the spiritual man. And then he said this, the spiritual man, woman, judges, discerns anything. See, the wisdom of God is the ability to perceive the heart of a matter. And the wisdom of God. So the spiritual mind, the spiritual access we have is the Holy Spirit flowing, the agency of our natural intelligence, our natural acumen, our brain being affected by a heaven presence. And when that happens, he closes off by saying, but we have the mind of Christ. We just read over that. Oh, I got the mind. Whoa, stop. I have access into the mind of God. Okay? You can't every day run around saying, I have the mind of Christ and never open your Bible. That's the mind of Christ. Okay? Begin there. The Bible, the revelation of God's thoughts, put on paper. You read them, they come alive, they speak to you, they become rhema, they become living, they become revelatory, they awaken wisdom. Everybody say, I got the mind of Christ. I pray that prayer. Every day I ask God for three things. I pray a bunch of stuff every day. Thank you, God, for wisdom, revelation, and understanding. It's from Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, God, for giving me the spirit of understanding, revelation, and wisdom. Thank you, God, for the mind of Christ. How you think about this thing, because I don't want my mind to stop your will. Infuse my mind with your thoughts until your will can be a part of my decision. Okay? Wisdom is for every believer. We are never more wise than when we worship. I couldn't help but say that because of our church. The smartest thing you did today was worship. We are never more wise than when we worship. The children of Israel knew the acts of God, the what's of God. But Moses knew the ways of God, the whys of God. Wisdom knows the why. Okay, so just in a secular portrait, a corporate environment, everybody working in a large environment, the employees are doing the whats. The managers know the whys. God wants you to manage in a realm of authority. He wants you to roar by knowing the whys of life. Okay, when we unlock the wise, we access the wisdom of God who can't wait to share with us what he has for us. Proverbs 3 says, wisdom is a tree of life. Wisdom is the tree of life. Wow. I believe that. And man, do I appreciate the wisdom of God. A couple more things. Wisdom is the lion of knowledge. So all knowledge looks the same. Wisdom rises above. Its voice heralds a superior kind of knowledge. God wants us to have that kind of knowledge, wisdom. The Queen of Sheba brought her hard questions. Here's what Jesus said. They're going to drag you into courtrooms. They're going to drag you before the religious councils of people that are way more educated than you. People that have given their life to the study of Torah, to the dogma of the Hebrew tradition. They're going to drag you there. But Jesus said, don't worry. When you get there, the Holy Spirit will give you a wisdom and a word that's irresistible. Come on, next time you go to an environment where you feel like you're overwhelmed by somebody, by someone who has superior standing, authority, and knowledge, Holy Spirit, I ask for your wisdom. Give me a mind like Christ. Give me the wisdom of God. And so here comes these uneducated guys. Here comes Peter and John. They're fishermen, and they're now before a whole room of lawyers. And in this room of lawyers, when they spoke, their words silenced their enemies. Why? Because there was no, remember Christ often, all through his ministry, he's tested by religious leaders. As they test him, they always think, because they're working the acumen of their carnal or natural minds, and they come up with this unsolvable enigma, this riddle. Oh, he won't be able to. And every time he would just, so often with just a one word, just a little sentence, he would just blow their minds. They would, you know, go away. Wow. Always defeat. Why? It wasn't the human brain of Christ. It was the wisdom of God in him that was unfiltered, that was undefiled, that was not limited. He just expressed it. Jesus said, build your house on the rock. That's right after he said the Beatitudes, these two chapters, the greatest sermon in the Bible. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Blessed are the persecuted, they shall be rewarded. He talks about these things. He said, here's the wisdom of God. Here's the wisdom of God. I promise you right now, everybody say right now, have you ever faced a mountain that seemed insurmountable, a problem that seemed unsolvable, a difficulty that seemed unreasonable? And right there, when we look at that thing, God says, just let me whisper something to you. I'm going to whisper my wisdom that you will roar as a lion. If you want to reign in life, if you want to be a lion of God, you have to live by the wisdom of God. Come on, slip your hands up to heaven, everybody. God, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we ask you, come on, just tell them right now, Lord, we ask you for wisdom. We ask you for wisdom for our families, our businesses, our ministries, our future, our decisions. Some of you right now are at an important crossroads where you have to make decisions that will be life affecting. I declare over you, the wisdom of God is yours. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our helper, our counselor. And I ask you to release wisdom in the name of Jesus. God, I bind confusion. I bind tormenting fears. I bind every lie that has been associated with someone's belief system. Devil, you're a liar. God, uproot those weeds and let the seeds of your kingdom blossom in the hearts of your people until your wisdom can be plucked like juicy fruit from a tree. God, release your wisdom to your people in Christ's name. Amen, amen. Say this with me, Holy Spirit. Today I ask you to fill me with your wisdom. I confess that I have the mind of Christ. I confess that my steps are ordered. I confess that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my way. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, loving Father, for giving me your mind, your wisdom in my life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think it's Proverbs 16:3. And it says, roll your works upon the Lord. I think it's the Amplified Bible. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. And he will then cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. So shall your plans be established and succeed. When I pray, God fills me with wisdom. See, God can help you. God, in a moment, he can do things. So wisdom is the transportation mechanism that God moves you into your destiny with. See, we keep asking God, just, Lord, I want that destiny. Lord said, okay, get in the car. What car? The wisdom taxi. Get in the car, because wisdom will take you to where your heart longs to be. And so when we're asking God to move us without wisdom, two things will happen. When we get there, we can't keep it, because the wisdom that takes us there can keep us there. But if we get there without wisdom, we will lose our position. We will lose our place. We will lose our blessing, because we don't know how to keep it. God loves you enough to infuse his wisdom. Thank you, God, for creative ideas. If you're a business person, if you want to make a difference financially in your life, if you feel like God wants to use you with ideas, philanthropic ways, humanitarian efforts, if you feel like you want to be an extravagant giver, if you have some kind of business, would you just stand up? I'm just going to pray some wild stuff for you right now. Prayer team, would you join me down front while I pray for my friends? Come on, businessmen and women, would you just raise your hands to heaven? Father, I pray for my awesome friends right now. And I thank you that you are their partner. You are their full partner in the destiny, the dream, the discovery, the journey of their life and faith. And so, Lord, I thank you for creative ideas. I thank you, God, for unusual, unstoppable, supernatural favor. I thank you, God, for witty inventions. I thank you, God, for heavenly wisdom. And I pray, like the children of Israel, for a 10-time greater wisdom to flood into their world, where they start blowing people's minds because the Holy Spirit has accessed their abilities. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the next level. Thank you, God, for the next dimension. Thank you, God, for the next season of wisdom. And let these dreamers, let these entrepreneurs dream about not what they can get, but what they can give. Give them outrageous numbers. Give them big dreams. Give them unusual favor. I command the devil to repay every person standing 7 times for every penny he's ever stolen from you. I loosen to you, Joel 2:25, the Lord will restore the years to you. I loosen a season of acceleration where God picks up the pace of the advancement and fulfillment of your life's purpose. And I declare over your life that God's going to make you a living epistle and a visual testimony to this generation of what he can do with his children. Father, help them all. Bless them all. Release your purpose to all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everybody stand and give God a praise. Come on, everybody stand and give God a praise.
Thank you for listening to today's message by Dr. Michael Maiden. Find all of these teachings for free at www.podbean.com/CFTN. We thank you for listening today, and if you would like to get connected with our church, you can visit cftn.com to find out about our service times, worship, outreach, and all the latest CFTN news. We would love to hear from you, and may God continue to bless you.